that there are things that happen. I read to you the first verse earlier in Luke chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. That when the two disciples went out two by two, that Jesus saw Satan falling. Zoom. And if Satan falls, all his cohorts fall. Now this is the law of the Spirit. For authority over the law of the Spirit. Okay, law number one. Let's look at the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke. And these are important principles we need to take note of. Gospel of Luke. Yep. Chapter 11. Gospel of Luke chapter 11. Now here's an interesting incident. When Jesus was casting out devils, and the Pharisees were saying that Jesus did it by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons, the ruler of prince of demons. And so in Luke chapter 11, in verse 14 onwards, let's read the story. And he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was when the demon had gone out, that the mute spoke and the multitudes marveled. But some of them said, he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Others testing him sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. Now, a point of clarification here. Although Satan has a structure of his demonic kingdom, where Satan is the head and his fallen angels and rulers of darkness of this age and principalities and powers, although he has his structure, within the structure, there is always they are not submitting one to another willingly. It was like, it's more like a kingdom of gangsters, where one dominates the other because one is stronger. Where the less powerful demons are bullied into submission. So that is the way the kingdom is ruled. And when Jesus made that statement, that Satan is not divided against himself, it doesn't mean that Satan doesn't sometimes play a game with humans. For example, the demons may have an agreement among themselves. They're all right. They will manifest certain false manifestation. So, for the sake of convincing human beings that they have quote unquote the power of God, demons may cause certain sickness and disease. And then when the bigger demon comes, the smaller one runs. And then in a human point, we say, hey, that person got well. They went to see some Si Fak Choi and he got healed. Or some Alibaba the Great and they got healed. And they say, how do these fellows got healed? Remember, in the demon world, the bigger bully dominates the smaller bully. So from the side effect, we say, hey, the person seems to get better, but they don't actually get better. Because a bigger demon is now ruling. And you watch after some time, the bigger demon starts making manifestation. Because what happened was the smaller one just got subdued by the bigger one. And the person goes more and more into bondage, and what people think there is healing is not. A lot of times, because we don't see the relation in the spiritual realm. In the same way, sometimes people tell stories of reincarnation. It's not reincarnation. What happened is the old demon in the old person who died, retaining all the memories and experience of the person, got into another person and transferred the memories and experience. Because in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26 and 27, it is appointed for a man to die once. And after that comes the judgment. So there's no reincarnation, there's no second chance. But what happens? We have an explanation for how these experiences are transferred through familiar spirits. Remember that humans die, but demons don't. So when a human being dies 1,000 years ago, and if the person was demonized, that demon comes out of the body and starts looking for another body. And if that demon succeeds in possessing another human vessel, he can have the ability to transfer the memories of a life that was lived 1,000 years ago, or 40 years ago, or 20 years ago, right to the exact detail, because the demon was a witness. So it looks like reincarnation, but it's not. It's demons, familiar spirits, transferring memories and experience to another human vessel. So there are all kinds of ways that demons deceive. One thing we know, Satan has been destroyed. And here's a law of God that Jesus brings out. And we want to bring out the first law in the spiritual realm. And in verse 19. If I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. And verse 20. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Then he tells us, when unclean spirit goes out of man, he goes to dry places seeking rest. And finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. Now notice in this illustration, in verse 24 to 26, the man was delivered, but he is in worse case than before. And now, the principle what we want to bring forth here is verse 21 to 22, that in order to take the goods of a strong man, you must bind the strong man. You must overcome him. You must bind him. And this truth has been discovered by a lot of effective evangelists today. Maurice Cerullo, who conduct crusades here and there, one day when he was doing a crusade in India, he did not have as many miracles happening in his life up to that point. But when he was having one of his first crusades in India, and he was spending time in prayer, and then the Lord revealed to him this principle too. And that is, unless you knock out the ruling spirit in the area that you want to evangelize, you cannot grab the souls under his influence. And so he began to do something different that he has never done before. In his prayer, he began to take authority over the demon forces of the entire city. He did battle with them. We'll describe about how to do battle in this series. Right? And he did battle with them. And the Bible tells us, not the Bible. And as he did battle with them, and he prayed, and he spiritually take authority. He made this statement in his book, Power, I think, on the Power from On High. He says that when he went to that crusade, when he went to the meeting, he found that the miracles happened easier. Deliverance took place easier when he has bound a strong man over the area. All those other smaller demons are easily scattered. And he found it was more effective. And from then onwards, he found he learned a principle. Now, another man in another place, a South American, I think his name was Carlos Anacondia. He had raised a few people from the dead. He's basically a simple plumber, closed his hardware plumbing shop for several months a year and goes out evangelizing. And in his biography, I read his biography. Someone wrote his biography and interview and talked how he started his ministry. He used to go to pray in deep prayer a lot. And then one day,
God began to show him that the only way he could free the souls of people is by coming against the authority and power that is over their life. That is over their life, completely over their life, or over the region, or over the city. And so, he comes against all those powers and authority, and he takes authority over them, and then he found that when he started going into those places, he could pick up the spoils easily. So he too discovered the same principle from another perspective, because God was revealing the same principle of spoiling, binding the strong man before you divide his spoils. So in the same manner, unless and until you have confronted Satan himself in your life, you have confronted ruling spirits in your life and have victory over their life, over them and overcome them, you find dealing with all the smaller ones are easier. They begin to understand that your authority that you have in Christ. Now, not your own authority, but your authority that came forth through Christ. But you still need to put it to practical application. What about the Bible? Now, notice that the first thing that Jesus did in his ministry, when he was anointed by the Holy Spirit, was not to go out preaching. The first thing he did was to go to the wilderness against Satan. Although it says he was tempted 40 days and 40 nights, look at it the other way, he was doing battle with Satan. For 40 days and 40 nights, tested and tried. And he was not afraid of Satan. Just look at a few things here in the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. We know that it's the Holy Spirit who led him there in verse 1. Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now notice, the first thing that the Holy Spirit sent him into was a spiritual battle. He didn't send him to preach the gospel yet. He didn't send him to announce the kingdom of God yet. The first thing he did was to send him to have a face-to-face encounter with Satan. Led by the Spirit. So I encourage each one of you Christians, don't be frightened when you're filled with the Spirit, when you got touched from God, and then as you came out, the first thing you met is the devil. You are supposed to overcome him. When you get spiritual touch from the Lord, the first thing that comes is opposition by the enemy. Don't get frightened. It's the Holy Spirit who sent you to wipe them out with the anointing that you just freshly received. And so here comes Jesus with the anointing of the Holy Spirit in him, led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and the devil tempted him and tested him for 40 days and 40 nights. Of course, we know some of the things that the devil said to him recorded here. But look at verse 5. It says here, the devil taking him up on a high mountain. Think about that for a moment. It didn't say that God took him. Look very carefully. It's in your Bible. Who took him to the high mountain? The devil. Now, whether it was spiritual or real, it's up to you to try to figure out. I personally believe that it's both spiritual and real. Yes. Yes, some high mountain. I don't know which mountain was that. Could be Mount of Olives, could be Mount Everest, could be any place. Oh, no. The devil was omnipresent taking him. Omnipresent is to be in two places at the same time. But he was in one place at that time. While the devil was tempting Jesus, the devil was absent from other places. But the interesting thing here is, the devil carried him. Do you see those words there? It didn't say the Holy Spirit carried him. Now, how many of you get frightened